Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
John, good morning to you. We're still trying to connect with Catherine Connolly. She's a very busy woman, no doubt. A huge round of interviews done by both her and Heather Humphreys over the last week or so. And as things stand now, just looking at purely at the polls, aside from performance or any other indicator, really, she's far and away the leader. Is she likely, do you think, to be our next president as things stand?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to get used to the term President Connolly from now on. It would take an earthquake. We don't know because these elections are very, very strange when we have them, these presidential elections. Every 7 years, sometimes not even, sometimes 14 years. So we don't know. But I think it's more than likely now that Catherine Connolly will win, that Heather Humphreys, very, very good candidate that she is, but she cannot counter sort of voter discontent about all the problems that we've had in government all down the years, especially around housing, health, etc.
Yeah, and there's all that as well. Look, there is still a week to go. There is a certain portion of undecideds. But what do you think it is about the Connolly campaign that has connected with people? Is it a concentration on young people going around to universities, the presentation of it, I suppose on the naked political side of it, the huge boost that she got when Sinn Féin, who the polls are showing us, are pretty disciplined when it comes to what their voters are going to do. Far more disciplined, I suppose, than the Fianna Fáil message, which admittedly is in disarray. 92% of Sinn Féin voters polled are voting for Catherine Connolly. That was a massive boost for her, surely.
It was a huge turning point for Catherine Connolly. I think, and the Jim Gavin withdrawal completely through the government side and impacted Heather Humphreys' campaign as well. There was a point where you could kind of look at it and say, well, all right, even though Jim Gavin isn't playing, he'll have a certain core vote, and that should transfer to Heather Humphreys, meaning that she still had hopes in the contest. That when that fell asunder, well, that was a blow also. That helped Catherine Connolly. She does, in fairness to her, in fairness to them, have an energetic grassroots campaign, and it certainly has lots evidence of lots of younger people borrowing, I think, again from the same-sex marriage referendum, from the repeal the Eighth Amendment referendum. Young people still staying active in politics, and that surely is some good news also.
Do both, look, we can talk all day about Fianna Fáil. We need a separate programme to talk about how they approached this, what went wrong for them. But do both parties have to look at how they selected their candidates? A certain number of people contacted this programme, you know, is that indicative of a wider feeling? Not voting. Fine Gael voters, very upset with party headquarters over the treatment they feel of Sean Kelly and refusing to vote, perhaps. Not voting for Heather Humphreys because of that. Similar feelings perhaps maybe in Fianna Fáil about Billy Kelleher and how Jim Gavin's campaign imploded. Will there be lessons to be learned there by the leadership of both parties?
I think so. I think it may be time to look again at the nomination process. It's too much in the grasp of the top level of political party management. I mean, I heard Michael Noonan, former finance minister, dismissing arguments about access to the ballot paper, saying, look, if you can't get 20, be they TDs or senators, there's over 230 of them these days, if you can't get 20 of them to sign you on, if you can't get 4 county councils, you might as well stop at home because you're at nothing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It is a line of argument.
Is he right, John? Is he right on that? I mean, if you put the work in, others have done it before several times over the last few election campaigns. Yet it's all complain now and spoil the vote and this is totally undemocratic. It was good enough in the past. So what's the problem now? Put the work in, well, get on the ground, come down and talk to councillors.
Yeah, it happened in 2011. We had seven candidates, many independents, less so in 2018. The important thing about 2011 was there was no official Fianna Fáil candidate. And similarly, in 2018, there was neither a Fianna Fáil nor a Fine Gael candidate. So this time, the councils were to a large degree, snookered by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael saying, telling their councillors, look, do not be putting strangers or straighteras on the ballot paper to undermine our own person. So I see merit in Michael Noonan's argument, but then when you cite the case of Sean Kelly, he couldn't even, as an internal exercise in Fine Gael, he couldn't get enough Oireachtas members to back him, to put him on the internal contest to get the candidature. And that is food for thought. If somebody as eminent, as schooled in politics and as experienced as Sean Kelly couldn't even get a full hearing, well, it does raise questions. But you know what, Jerry? To change the candidate nomination process would require constitutional
referendum.
Change. Constitutional change is more often talked about than ever acted upon. So I wouldn't be holding my breath.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Okay, John, as well as the presidential election, the daily business of the Dáil has been going on, and the issue raised, housing again raised by the opposition parties, particular issues with regards to price of power, price of utilities, accusations that major utilities in the country are price gouging their customers. Prices way up, wholesale prices way down, not being passed on. Now, there are engineering and market realities for all of that to explain at least some of it. But I suppose my question to you politically for the government, how dangerous is this? You put this together with the grocery price inflation figures, which came out again this week, which is racing ahead of general inflation. Are there warning signs there for the government, despite the stellar economic forecasts of how the economy is going from the IMF this week? People aren't feeling it in their pockets. And will they blame the government for that?
Yes, absolutely. And the canvassers on the ground in the presidential election are finding the issues you've cited there, and especially cost of living, playing very much on voters' minds. And it probably is the one big reason why Catherine Connolly is more than likely to win this day week. It's discontent with I suppose, the sharing of the economic success. We're an outlier when it comes to all of our neighbours in Europe in terms of Ireland's economic success versus the woes of Germany, France in particular, the UK as well, and so on. And yes, this is a ticking time bomb for the government. They have time, provided they can hold together, but not a good story for the government.
Yeah. Okay, John, stay with us. We're going to talk a bit more about that and other things. We'll get to those and more after we take these.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John, politically, the presidential election is obviously dominating everything at the moment, and it even coloured the motion of no confidence situation that arose this week. Patrick Tobin of A2 declaring we're going to put a motion of no confidence down on Simon Harris from his time years ago as Minister for Health for his failure to deal with children's spinal situations and a whole Children's Health Ireland situation. Now, the accusation was that this was a cynical ploy timed for next week in the run into the election to cause maximum damage to Heather Humphrey's campaign. The government then accused of its own level of cynicism for bringing things forward and jumping things forward by introducing a motion of confidence in the now Minister for Foreign Affairs and Taoiseach, former Minister for Health, and that ran out and played out this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Political gamesmanship on both sides here. These ploys, these no confidence motions. They're a piece of dull chamber political theatre. The government side, they have the numbers, they're going to win. So the calculation is you can generate enough negative publicity against the government. Goes back to 2017 when Simon Harris, who by the way turns 39 today, happy birthday, Simon.
Is he only that young? My God, I feel like he should be 56 or so. He's been around so long, John. Yeah, or is that just politics for you?
I think that's, well, in part it's politics, but I think it reminds me of the old days when they used to be looking at underage players and saying, what, you're not still under 12, are you? You must have been born young. I think Simon Harris may well have been born old, but that's another day's work. Anyway, they go back to the time in 2017 when he made promises about children not having to wait unduly for scoliosis operations, something that didn't happen. So trying to, it's very, very emotive and quite distressing when you look at the individual cases and children suffering and the distress caused to their families. But that was that. It was timed to be right up again, polling day. And then the government just hauled it back. There's so much else going on in the world. It didn't really get the value for money that the opposition would have hoped. The opposition kind of a bit scattered on this one as well. Ivana Bacik of Labour, for example, saying, look, right now, time and place, we can't row in with the opposition. Easily won by the government, as predicted. Some grief shipped, not by any means what the opposition would have hoped, but gamesmanship, as you say, Jerry, on both sides in this one.
Was it all? You know, I have sympathy for the opposition. There are times when you need to put down emotional to put the pressure on to force the government to change its tack or to cause political damage if you're trying to get them to do something you want to do or snap them out of it or chime with the public disgruntlement on a particular issue. But was this not an enormous waste of time? Like in a week when the price gouging situation came out, I heard an interesting discussion on the Tonight Show. Dara Cassidy was on Bonkers, and he was laying out the realities of the situation of renewable energy, of our transmission line network being hugely disparate and disconnected. We have three times per capita the length of electricity cable in this country as we have in other European countries, three times the length than in England per capita. That's one of the reasons why it's so expensive. And there's a bit of a kind of a, I won't say a fib, but there's an easy out for the government here talking about renewables when they say renewables are going to deliver everything. They're going to be cleaner, greener and cheaper because we'll be able to generate. It turns out actually they won't be quite so cheap or as cheap. And because we're going to have to invest billions in fixing our line. I heard much less discussion of that in the Dáil from the opposition and much more about kind of a pointless conference motion because of what was going on. Or do I have that wrong, John? Are they missing a trick, the opposition here, by concentrating on that?
I mean, it does kind of remind us how difficult it can be sometimes to be in opposition. They certainly have a duty to keep the government and call the government to account and so on. Sometimes, you see, part of it is that the agenda can shift. And this was talked about through this no-confidence motion in Simon Harris was really talked up during the summer. It kind of came to fruition as the Dáil comes back and the agenda picks up, as the workload picks up. But meanwhile, other things have moved into the space. And yes, there are more urgent issues in voters' view than going back on something, going back on a history lesson. People will be conflicted about involving distressing cases of children and being seen or being open to the accusation that you're making political capital out of that. So, yes, I mean, it turned out to be, by and large, certainly not a good day out for the opposition, any which way you look at it. And so much else going on that things are, you know, quite shrouded in all of this. Of course, there are huge issues about energy for Ireland that we have to try to face. And it's something that only comes when we hear about crises and dangers. When we heard the other week about, for example, by 2027 there may be no new energy connections for housing. It feeds into the whole housing situation as well. Yeah. And we do need a proper discussion and far more planning on energy.
Yeah, we do. John, you mentioned political capital there, and there's a war of words going on in Kerry at the moment among our politicians over political capital, or maybe political credit. This week we had an announcement coming by way of Fianna Fáil TD Michael Cahill, talking about the purchase of the former Pretty Polly site in Killarney by the Kerry ETB, describing it as a game changer for the county. €2.3 million in funding allocated to the Kerry Education and Training Board to purchase the site of the former factory for the development of a hospitality college from Kerry County Council. Now, this was initially announced, the idea was announced 3 years ago by the then Minister for Higher and Further Education, Simon Harris, and Brendan Griffin standing beside him, that this was to be the plan. It took 3 years to get to this stage, and it was announced by Michael Cahill. Now, he ruffled a lot of feathers with the announcement, or rather, by being first with that announcement. A statement last evening from Minister for State, Michael Healy-Ray, accusing Minister Cahill of not having his facts right, or Deputy Cahill, not his facts, and jumping the gun that, yes, there might have been a sign-off, but technically the money isn't there yet. It has to get an agreement between the ETB and Kerry County Council. So Michael Cahill is wrong in what he said, and he'd want to go back to the drawing board. Now, Michael Cahill this morning has put out a statement in relation to that, saying, look, I'm sorry if I put Michael Healy-Ray's nose out of joint because he wasn't following the progress of the plans at the Pretty Polly site in Killarney closely enough to know that the funds are being allocated for its purchase to the Kerry Education and Training Board. I was very excited and delighted that my party colleague James Lawless, Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, had agreed and was signing off on the allocation, and my secretary and I believed our timing was in line with the department announcement. This brings me back, John, to the days of the late Jackie Healy-Ray and John O'Donoghue, 1997, when I first started with Radio Kerry, and the race to be first to announce goodies in the era of the kingmaker and the minister being in the same constituency. Are we going back to the future with this one?
1,000%, Jerry. It's exactly it. And it reminds me, the other thing, like, who's going to be first with the news? It struck me when they put together this the current government with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and a group of independents, I thought perhaps one of the tougher stations would be being a government backbencher in a constituency, watching the independents running out there to media to put their name on whatever development. And you'd have to say, I mean, this is, on one level, it's a silly boys game from your average citizen's point of view. But from the point of view of being in the business, of staying in business in the tough world of politics, it's actually very, very intriguing. And fair play to Michael Cahill. He just does seem to have, he had a line into James Lawless, the Fianna Fáil Minister for Further Education, and he was out there with the news ahead of the Healy-Rays. That's not often something you can say in Kerry or elsewhere, because the Healy-Rays are the most thorough and the most hardworking and efficient machine imaginable. But we are going to see much more of this. We saw that dynamic when you were talking about going back to the late 90s. I remember going into Leinster House one day and watching a Fianna Fáil press officer lining up a group of quote-unquote dissident Fianna Fáil TDs and sending them out onto the plinth to talk to RTE to voice their dissent, their unhappiness about this, that and the other, about the government they were in. So that's kind of, again, we're talking about gamesmanship, but look, you're either in business or you're not. I would say this week, 1-0 to Michael Cahill.
Yeah, and on that at that situation, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? I found this played out, particularly with this budget, the first budget of the new government. There are effectively four government-supporting TDs in Kerry. It's all in one constituency now. Back when Jackie Leray and John O'Donoghue were fighting it out, it was South Kerry and North Kerry. Now it's all one. There are four government-supporting TDs and only one member of the opposition. So there's going to be a competitive dynamic between those four. Whether it's Danny Healy-Ray, who's kind of out there on the edge, supporting but not a minister, Michael Healy-Ray, who is a junior minister, looking to claim credit and looking to get things done in his department, top dog, Minister Norma Foley, at cabinet table, looking to cement her position and deliver for the county. And then, as you said, Michael Cahill out there as well. And one Lone Ranger, Sinn Féin, looking to make hay on government troubles. So of all constituencies in Ireland, it's an interesting one, isn't it, from that point of view, and see how that will play out over the next few years.
It is very much. There's going to be an awful lot of tension. The two posh words are dissidence and dissonance. A lot, in other words, an awful lot of political pulling and dragging going to go on here, and it will erupt from time to time. Hopefully, the beneficiaries of all of this will be the people of Kerry, because it does put a focus and it should, it may well, it doesn't always follow, because there's a lot of lost energy in that kind of internal tension and division as well. But hopefully, yes, Kerry will be the beneficiary. And you're right, Pat Daly is right now in a very privileged position for Sinn Féin, having just strong and clear definition and clear blue water between him and the other four.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Pat Daly, final point on the bringing us back to the presidential election where we started, John. How much will his stock have risen within Sinn Féin? Should the polls, and we'll say this, it's just a poll, but should the polls turn out to be reality this day next week? Internally within Sinn Féin, my understanding is he pushed very strongly right from the start for Catherine Connolly, faced opposition as well, that she should be their candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sinn Féin can retrospectively claim credit. The ball has bounced nicely for them. They've had three very difficult elections, 2020 general election, 2024 locals, and last November, disappointment for them. So I think, yes, the people who advocated for Sinn Féin to support Catherine Connolly will certainly be in the ascendant. It will be very interesting to watch how Sinn Féin can, assuming a Connolly win, which is very likely, how they can carry it on.
That's the huge question, isn't it? Pardon? Yeah, this movement that Catherine Connolly has been talking about, that she's the start of a movement. Now, she'll have to step back and leave politics aside if successful on Friday. But will the movement continue coherently, all marching forward on the left together to claim the keys to power in 4 years' time, or whatever the next election is going to be?
Always difficult to envisage left unity in Ireland, particularly. They have a great ability to fight with one another. But one would hope people will be harking back to 1990 and if a sea change in Irish politics when Mary Robinson, who was then a United Left candidate, won, and there followed the spring tide of November 1992 and great things for the left in Irish politics for quite a period in the 1990s. People who tend towards left-wing politics will be hoping for a revival along those lines.
Okay, John, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million for talking to us, as always, this morning on Call from the Dáil. John Downey there of the Irish Independent. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch with us on the programme. We'll have more on the way after we take these.